This show was first broadcast on Free FM 89.0, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access radio station. For more information on our station and our wide range of programs, visit freefm.org.nz.
For fresh, local, spray-free and organic food, do your weekly shop at the Waikato Farmers Markets. In-season fruit and vegetables, meat, fish, eggs, milk, coffee, baked goods and preserves, all grown and produced in the Waikato. Cambridge Farmers Market, Victoria Square on Saturdays, or the Hamilton Farmers Market, Claudelands, every Sunday morning. The Waikato Farmers Markets are proud to sponsor Earth Matters. 5 o'clock Wednesdays on Free FM 89.0.
Kia ora koutou, welcome to Earth Matters, a radio show about earth care, people care and fair share with your host Anna Casey Cox. Earth Matters is a show that lifts up permaculture principles as useful tools to understand problems and find solutions and to imagine and create a more sustainable Hamilton and Kirikiri Roa. In this week's show, we're going to be talking with Tracy Bayliss, who has set up a new store in Whatawhata in an attempt to make local food, I guess, more accessible and also to support local growers and producers of food. So we'll be talking with her. And I guess it relates to what Sam has been talking with us about recently, about climate action locally. About what the youth will be doing this Friday and taking up the action of looking after our gullies and doing the releasing of trees and weeding in the gullies as a follow-on from their protest. But it's about climate action. Local food is climate action. It's about reducing food miles, reducing the carbon emissions that are associated with our food. And fortunately, too, when we eat locally, we often connect, which is a wonderful thing for us to do for our well-being and for other initiatives that we might look to do together that also are of benefit to our environment and to our well-being more broadly than that. So yeah, we're going to have a chat with Tracy, so we'll go and do that now and listen to her kōrero and vision around her new store in Whatawhata. All right, so we've got Tracy Bayliss on the phone, and it's awesome to have you with us today. Thank you for taking the time. I know you're very busy with your new adventures, but I guess I just wanted to ask you what your vision is for what you're doing and what it is that you actually are doing, just so people know about it.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on the show.
Cool.
To start with. I guess what I was wanting to do is just to make good, honest food available, I guess, and more affordable for people, while putting a bit more money back into the producer or grower's pocket. Everything just seems to be a little bit out of whack, out of balance. And so a way that I thought that I could help with that is to start gate-to-plate farm shops. So it's a platform, I guess, where small, medium producers can sell their products direct to the customer with sort of cutting out that middleman so they can get a little bit more in their pocket and, like I say, pass some of those cost savings onto the consumer.
Yeah, because it's incredibly hard work. I mean, I'm not a grower in any way, really. I mean, I have a little garden out the back of our, you know, our house section. And I was just thinking last night about the enormous work involved in growing food. Like, it's just such an undertaking. And to not get enough back to be able to feed your own family and, you know, sustain yourself just isn't going to work, is it? So it's really great that you're, like you say, just putting a little bit more money back in the pockets of the growers and making their work just a little bit more sustainable. So in terms of, I guess, what you're doing, you've had a long history or connection here in the Waikato, and I guess part of your inspiration has come from that.
Yeah, well, definitely. We're starting with Grandad's beef. That's our own beef that we are farming regeneratively out here at Te Uku, and just, you know, knowing what those challenges are, being a small producer and trying to get that out to market. But through that journey, I guess, meeting so many other really awesome growers and farmers and, you know, as you start to build up that network, that really was, I guess, a driving force, because it's like, well, hey, if I'm having these challenges myself and, you know, everybody else must be as well, so how can we support each other? And I think what can tend to happen a little bit with small businesses, there's kind of a bit of a fear there, and you tend to become like crabs in a bucket where you're pulling everybody down. But how we can really help each other is by linking our arms, and, you know, that strength will come with supporting each other and that growth. So it's just kind of changing that, the mindset, and the whole regenerative agriculture movement is a really big supporter of exactly that, and trying to build stronger, more resilient communities. And by doing that, you know, we can help. It's all interconnected. Like, where do you start? How do I tell that story? But maybe we'll get to that as we go along.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. And I guess the thing is with, you talked about, like, sort of, you know, pulling each other down, and you've changing that to be more about building each other up. And I guess most people in Hamilton and Kirikiriroa are still eating out of the supermarket. Like, I mean, that's where most people are still turning to. A lot of the times, probably because that inaccessibility of local food is really the issue. Like, if they could get hold of it easier, and knew about it, and all the barriers that exist to getting it, you know, there's a massive opportunity there, isn't there, for our local growers to actually tap into it. But it's sort of it's shifting everyone's mindsets, I guess, towards that. Well, we've got our kai right here. We don't have to look much further, in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess what's happened, and we've been our own enemy, I guess, in that we're just the creators of wanting this convenience. You know, so we've created the system of convenience, which is, you know, wanting everything from one place. You know, there was a time where you'd go out and you'd, you know, you'd go to your butcher for your meat, or you'd go to your greengrocer for your veggies. And but then whether it's a time thing or whatever, we want to do it all from one space. So that's where, you know, we've grown this big monster, being, I guess, if you like, the supermarket, which is causing, I guess, isolation as well, a bit, for not just for the growers, but also for the people, for consumers. So they're not getting out and, you know, actually chatting with the people, and it's causing that disconnection from the grower to the person buying the food. But we've even taken it one step further than that. So we're not even going to the supermarket anymore to even just chat with the checkout person. We're ordering our food online, and we're doing my food bag. So we're not even really giving food. It just becomes like it's an afterthought, and so it's not like this beautiful thing that brings people together and families together, where you sit down and you know, dish up these beautiful nutrients, just a beautiful nutrient food that will nourish us. It just becomes this chore. Yeah. And so we kind of need to change that as well.
Yeah, so there's a few things that need to be changed. So the farm shop is kind of about doing that. It's, or the gate to plate, I guess, is what you're calling it. As a sort of a movement of reconnecting, changing mindsets, and helping people access that nutritious food. Yeah,
absolutely. Because you know that when somebody, as you mentioned as well, with your little own, you know, small garden, the amount of effort that goes into that, but you're really taking care and nurturing the soil, and, you know, the time that goes into it. You just know when you're buying it from somebody more, I guess, they've gone to that extra effort. Whereas when you're buying anything that's been intensified and grown, you know, like these big operations, it's all about, you know, how can we grow the most with the least amount of cost? And that comes down to the, you know, the actual product in the end. It's just never going to be that beautiful nutrient-dense product that you would get from a small grower.
Yeah, exactly. So we went up to an event near Pukekohe recently, and it was interesting to see, because I don't, I mean, living in the Waikato, you mostly see dairy farms and beef and sheep farms, I guess. Not a whole lot of growing, you know, fields still, but up there, the monocropping and the scale of it is still, like you say, just it's how can we get the most out of this? And I was thinking about the growers that I know that are part of your, you know, contributing to your shop, and the different models that they're trying to use and grow with, which is much more diverse, really, in a paddock or in a field. You've got a whole lot going on, not just one thing. My other question is really, you've talked about a couple of challenges in relation to the local food and how you're looking to address those. But are there other challenges that are sort of coming up as you go through this too, with setting up the shop, etc.?
I guess for small producers, there's always the challenge of compliance, which, you know, we do need on one hand, because we need to be making sure that everyone isn't, you know, getting sick from food. But it does also, it seems to be an extreme sometimes. So there's the cost of compliance and all that makes it small for the smaller producer. But I guess it's where having one shop and pulling everybody in together, it takes a lot of that financial pressure off. Because we're coming in collectively, that certainly seems to be one hurdle that we've been able to get over.
That's
by
awesome.
Joining forces.
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing, like you're saying, that you're building the network stronger, and you'll be able to identify, you know, shared challenges that you can sort of figure out together. That's a huge strength of what you're doing, I guess.
Well, definitely, and because everybody has experience different things along the way, so then like, when you can pull from that knowledge from everybody, it certainly makes it a lot, you're not so isolated and a lot more supported.
Yeah, so what kind of things can people come and get from your shop?
Oh, all sorts. And it's growing, and that's where it's really cool. So the more, because we want more and more suppliers to be coming to us, and as they find out about what's going on, almost every day we're getting inquiries and new stuff coming in, which is really cool. But what we're trying to do is build up a shop where all of your fresh produce and things that you kind of need on a daily basis you can get from the shop. And so we've got milk, eggs, bread, you know, those kind of staples. But we've got beautiful preserves and relishes, amazing cheeses and yogurts and meat, obviously, as well, vinegars. We've got, just trying to think of everything in the shop. everything seasonal as well. So that's another thing. It's trying to get people to go back to buying in season, because it is, you know, that's where your cost savings are as well. Food doesn't have to be expensive, but we just need to make sure we're buying seasonally, when there's lots of that particular food around.
Yeah, so now I would love to pop down to your shop, but I live on the other side of Hamilton. So is your part of your vision also like just to sort of spread this and grow shops in other locations as well?
I guess it would be really nice to think that these little shops can pop up, these little hubs can pop up all over New Zealand for sure. I don't personally want to be the person that's driving that, but if it inspires other people to do it, if we can get this business model to work and show that it is, you know, financially sustainable and the demand is there, then there will be more hope that people, you know, can pick it up and replicate it around the place. So if you want to do that, I'm more than happy to share the knowledge that I have.
Yeah, yeah. So you're forging the way, and other people can do it too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So in terms of, I guess, this the whole, you know, support for local food, if there were like two things that people could do to sort of tautoko or support what you're doing, what would you say for them to do?
Come to the shop for one. I think like farmers markets are awesome, and if you can get to the farmers market, then that's obviously that's number one. That's the best option, because you can talk to the grower, the producer direct, and you can't beat that. You know, talking and getting to know your grower, and we're kind of like that next step, that in between, the next best thing. And if you can do that, if you can buy directly from the grower in another form, like what we're offering at Gate to Plate, then that's awesome. Because you just know, when you come into Gate to Plate and you do your little shopping, you might buy five or six things. You know that you're helping five or six different little businesses, and your choice really does matter to those people a lot more than it would to just, you know, sort of one person who owns a big supermarket. So if you can get down and support your local grower or farmer directly. And I guess the other thing I would say is don't waste food. And like you said before, it's a lot of work when you're growing your own little garden. And when you go to the effort of growing your own vegetables, you make sure that you don't waste those vegetables. So it's really heartbreaking if we get to the end of the week and there's still a few bags of salads or, you know, a couple of veggies in the shop that hasn't sold because we know the effort that the grower has gone to, and we don't want to see food wasted. But even more so for yourselves when you get home and you know, just find ways of using leftover food, you know, different recipes. And yeah, if you waste less, we can then grow less, particularly when you're talking meat and farming systems as well. It's really, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's it. I guess if you value the food, you value the food more when you know the effort that's gone into producing it. And I suppose, yeah, like you say, getting to know the growers, you get to hear that story and that commitment and dedication. But you also get to, you know, be part of their families to some extent. Like we've heard your daughter come into the show before, and you know, and I think I can also hear some birds tweeting. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so interesting, because like not only are you immersed in your family, you've also got, you know, obviously the natural world right there around you. So that's what a local grower has. It's good to have all those connections. Yeah.
Well, I still get a couple of days, you know, on the farm. Obviously, I'm built on the farm as well. So I certainly appreciate having my time out of the shop and back in nature, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, well, thank you, Tracy, and all the best for your work. And definitely people go and see you in Whatawhata and enjoy some of that beautiful food that you've got there. So thank you. Thank you for joining us. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Time stood still and I packed my bags. We were young and free. We were blessed. How on earth did I make it this far? Only sticks and stones broke my bones. I jump mountains, then I swam ocean, and it got a little harder to say goodbye. I jump mountains, then I swam ocean, but got a little harder to say goodbye. I don't know where I'm going, but I'll be just fine. Same. We dance to a different drum.
just know you'll be alright. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Where this road goes,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You never know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just know you'll be alright. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we've been talking with Tracy Bayliss, who is running the Gate to Plate Farm Shop in Whatawhata. So we really encourage everyone to go out there and support that. You know, it's so important to get behind our local growers and just build this movement of local food. And, you know, that's the thing. If you do spend some time trying to grow food, you realise how much work is involved with it, but also how much satisfaction is also in the work of growing food. We've got some beautiful soil in the Waikato. We're very lucky to have that. That's why people have lived here for so long, is because it is this wonderful place for kai. And I was talking with my daughter the other night about Hamilton, because sometimes we talk about Hamilton and what it's like to live in Hamilton and what the good things are about living in Hamilton. And I said to her, you know, it's got really good soil. And it did make us both laugh, because obviously we don't really think like that these days. It's more like about, I don't know, the view you might have or something like that. But actually, you know what? That's our resilience. The kind of soil that we have is our resilience going forward, especially in the face of climate change and issues like that, where we expect some disruption to how life is as we know it. We need to be able to grow food, and food and soil go together hand in hand, and they are our resilience really as a community. So kia ora to Tracy for her work in making sure that there is local food available, and to all the other growers too who are out there doing the hard work to make sure that food is more nutritious and can be provided to us. So awesome work going on in our community. And I just wanted to also highlight, I guess, a conversation I had today about eco-spirituality, which is interesting, probably kind of on the other end of things, but not really, with regards to, you know, hard-out work, I guess, growing food, is the other part of it, where we actually connect back to our nature and to our natural world all around us, and start again to see ourselves as very connected to that and very interdependent or dependent on Earth and all of the provision that Earth provides for us in our lives. So I guess I just wanted to read out a little poem, I guess, from John O'Donoghue. We discussed John O'Donoghue in our meeting today about eco-spirituality, which we're looking to have a symposium on in the new year, probably as part of the Festival of Disruption, which is taking place in March. And Kelly from the Tron is involved with that, and so she'll give you more details on that festival. But we're looking at having a day on eco-spirituality. But I just wanted to read out a poem from John O'Donoghue. Some of you may know of him, but I just thought, you know, it's nice to connect us back to our, you know, the things that the earth that we're dependent on, and sometimes poetry can help us to do that. So here's a little poem or a blessing, I guess, from Don O'Donoghue for you today. For one who is exhausted, a blessing. When the rhythm of the heart becomes hectic, time takes on the strain until it breaks. Then all the unintended stress falls in on the mind like an endless increasing weight. The light in the mind becomes dim. Things you could take in your stride before now become laborsome events of will. Weariness weariness invades your spirit, gravity begins falling inside you, dragging down every bone. The tide you never valued has gone out, and you are marooned on unsure ground. Something within you has closed down, and you cannot push yourself back to life. You have been forced to enter empty time. The desire that drove you has relinquished. There is nothing else to do now but rest and patiently learn to receive the self you have forsaken in the race of days. At first, your thinking will darken and sadness take over like listless weather. The flow of unwept tears will frighten you. You have travelled too fast over false ground. Now your soul has come to take you back. Take refuge in your senses. Open up to all the small miracles you rushed through. Become inclined to watch the way of rain when it falls slow and free. Imitate the habit of twilight, taking time to open the well of colour that fostered the brightness of day. Draw alongside the silence of stone until its calmness can claim you. Be excessively gentle with yourself. Stay clear of those vexed in spirit. Learn to linger around someone of ease who feels they have all the time in the world. Gradually you will return to yourself, having learned a new respect for your heart and the joy that dwells far within slow time. So that's just a little blessing for you from John O'Donoghue, who's an Irish poet, very well known and well loved. And I guess, you know, as Tracy was talking with us earlier, she had the birds tweeting around her and she said she does like to spend time on the farm still. And I guess that's a lot of what that's about. Our local producers, in the way that they farm, farming differently to perhaps the convention, what we understand to be conventional ways, are actually really connecting back to their the whenua to the land and developing a longer, more sustainable relationship with land, and we can all benefit from that. So that was a blessing from John O'Donoghue. Often brings in themes of eco spirituality or connection in the poetry that he has written and provides for us. And that was a poem for you know, a weary soul, which I think a lot of us are. It's a lot of racing around that happens at this time of year, so it's important to take time to slow down, to connect with one another and with the natural world around us, and it will be a good thing for us to prevent our weariness, I guess. So anyway, all good. Thank you for listening to Earth Matters on Free FM 89.0. We have been talking about local food, which is a climate action related to Sam's kōrero at the moment around Extinction Rebellion and the actions that we need to take to protect our planet. And growing food locally, supporting our local growers, is most definitely a way of doing that. So ngā mihi ki a koutou. Thank you for listening to Earth Matters on Free FM 89.0.
For more episodes of this Community Access Radio show, please visit freefm.org.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast possible by funding the Access Internet Radio Project.